Hi.
Good. You're an inventor?
Yes.
Good for you. Where are you calling from?
My name is Angela. I'm calling from the Gulf Islands in British Columbia.
Angela, what have you invented?
Okay. I'm a PhD psychologist, and in the mid-late 80s, I was doing a number of research studies and publishing studies looking at serotonin, but I also get migraines. I have a family history of it. So it finally, you know, it was like, boom, I'm doing all this research for other people, for other clinical conditions. So I decided, okay, let's look at this, because I know serotonin's involved with migraines. So, and basically all the research I've been doing was hypothesis testing. So that's where you come up with, you know, good ideas based on what you think is going wrong with something. Okay. And then how to fix it. So I said, okay, there's kind of three basic things going wrong with in a migraine that's documented in the journals. So I know how to raise blood levels of serotonin. You can do that with an amino acid and B vitamin, L-tryptophan and niacin, low dose. And number two, I want to decrease the size of the blood vessels. Vasodilatation, and you can do that with low dose calcium.
You want to decrease the size?
Calcium.
Isn't that dangerous?
Yeah, because it tends to
constrict. You're saying, right?
Spasm. Yeah. You want to reduce it because the blood vessel tends to increase in size, particularly where there's the pain, site of pain.
Ooh, what if they have heart
problems? One of the things you can do to bring it back into normal vasoconstriction is vasotension. Actually, is you know, just over-the-counter, low-dose calcium and very low-dose caffeine. And the third component was dealing with the pain, so reducing the anti-inflammatory, you know, have an anti-inflammatory effect, which was just straight aspirin. So, and up here in Canada, you can get an aspirin-caffeine combination called Anacin, and that's a nice ratio, low dose. So there was those five ingredients. So I said to myself, okay, that's what I'm going to do next time I have a migraine. And I'd already been keeping data on myself, you know, being a researcher. And boom, it worked the first time. So this was 1992. So I continued to keep data on myself every time I had one, which was about two and a half times a month. So
that's a lot, isn't it?
Yeah. So it has really saved my life, and you know, I've had a lot more of my life because I haven't had to suffer. So it continued to work for me, but I also wanted to then try out, well, what if I only use four of these components? So I did all the different permutations, you know, if I only use
mix
four
them
or
sure.
those four,
yeah.
or the, and what if I use only three? And I got it down to, well, there was one combination of four worked kind of weakly, but the five all together. And it turns out, as I looked more into the research, that there were some interactions, favorable interactions, like between ASA, aspirin, and niacin, again, enhancing the effect to raising blood levels of serotonin. So that's just one of those three. So I thought, okay, if the drug, you know, so I went to patent lawyers in Canada and in the United States.
You're going
to
mix up your own brew.
And it was going to be enormous.
Huh?
Amounts of money. So I thought, okay, I want to put this in the public domain,
but
I don't want it to be kind of scooped up by the drug companies until I can get it safely in the public domain.
Okay.
So I filed for a patent, filed a patent application in Canada. You only have to do it in one country in the world, and then that blocks it. Boom. That defines the inventor and the date and the components if you file it. So that I'm kind of giving advice for other inventors
right
now. If you file it with at least one country, then that blocks anybody else from stealing it.
And how long is that patent good for?
Because when that patent search is done, you know, especially in the United States, it's easy to check a Canadian patent. Or
all right, how long is it good for?
So you have to keep paying the fee.
Can you hear me?
Sorry?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
How long is that patent good for?
Okay, I do not have a patent. I filed the application, I went through the steps, I paid the fees for several years, and then at a certain year, like a 5 or 7 years, they want to see data confirming the efficacy, right?
All right.
But in the meantime, I collected enough data to then publish a paper in a medical journal, which therefore puts it in the public domain officially, which then allows everybody to have access to this free, and therefore no drug company can have an exclusive.
Good for you. You've saved us.
I canceled pursuing the patent. That's what it's called, abandoning the patent. So I stopped paying the fees after about 5-6 years. So that allowed me to protect the idea, so it could not be stolen like one of your other callers mentioned, and gave me time to do a study to show its efficacy and get that published in a medical journal.
But you never came out with a product yet.
No, because these five agents, right, niacin, calcium, caffeine, and ASA, they're all low doses.
Sure.
You can buy it at the drugstore. And the amino acid L-tryptophan, it used to be you could buy it in the health food store for free. But after there was a contamination problem with the Japanese, but it's now still back. It is available in, it was never taken off the market in Canada because we didn't have that Japanese
dose.
Producer.
Yeah.
But you do have to go and get a prescription from your physician.
Well, let me tell you, that's a great idea. I'm glad you were able to come up with that. But you should see. Here's the problem, though: marketing. Not a lot of people who have migraines know that your formula is out there, and somehow you got to get the word out and let them find it. And that's where a product would have come in. I think you would have been able to sell that to people in huge quantities, by the way.